Okay, everybody, it's now 1:30. We agreed that we would start the national policy discussion of common service. Just a little bit of housekeeping. First of all, I know we do have one of the 12 directors here. Because we were a half an hour late in starting, we've essentially eaten up the time that was devoted to the CPB requirements on board composition, committee composition. So we're going to have to postpone that because it was agreed that we would do the thematic dialogue and public comment at a time certain. So I'm going to suggest that we move the CPB requirements until after we have the thematic dialogue, the public comment, and then the motion on national program policy, because that stuff fits together as a group. And so we'll put item 2 immediately after item 6. Okay? And we'll try and get through this as quickly as can. Hopefully there'll be enough consensus on the motion from the national program committee that we won't take half an hour. Okay, with that, the chair of the National Programming Committee last year was, and the convener this year was Rob Robinson, and he is going to lead the discussion. If you'd like me to manage it at any point, I'm more than welcome, but it's really your show, Rob, for the next hour. We're having a thematic dialogue on national programming and national programming policy. Oh, and one last thing about this. It's something that we're hoping to institute this year, which is to spend time when the board is together and the public is present to actually just talk at length about the substantive issues before us and focus at each meeting on a couple of key issues rather than solely be involved in dealing with the nuts and bolts of processing emotions. So with that, we have an hour for this topic. Rob, it's your show.
Thank you.
One other thing. Mansoor has a sign-up list for public comment, which will come after this item and before we deal with the motion on the policy. And we'll be in the video stream. I assume there's no objection to videotaping. Rob.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. First of all, there are two documents that the board members may need to refer to. One of them is the draft program or the program policy that has been before the board since October. It's in this document. If anyone can't find the program policy, come over here and I'll point it out to you. Secondly, I passed out today a committee report dated Saturday, March 25th, and I want to touch very briefly on that report. The programming committee reconvened this year on Tuesday, the 21st, earlier this week, for the specific purpose of electing officers. That was the business. The reason it took us so long is we had to wait until the other local station boards had elected their members to the committee. We did that, and that election will be tabulated after the ballots are received on Friday, March 30th. The other thing I just want to make everyone understand, since many of you are new, is that the programming policy is already before the board, okay? So what our committee did was we didn't take any action about it because it's currently before this body. What happened was the programming committee passed the policy in October and forwarded to the PNB, to this body. At the meeting in October in Houston, the PNB provisionally adopted the policy with the proviso that LSB's management and listeners would have until the January meeting of the board to provide written and other comments and input on the programming policy. So we did that. When we met in January, we discussed what had been received, and we gave the listeners, management, and the LSBs yet more time. At present, I have approximately 25 written comments on the policy. I would like to particularly thank the listeners and the LSB from KPFK, people like Terry Goodman, Michael Novick, Roger Zimmerman, John Wenger, who spent a great deal of time, more time than any other LSB, in going through the document, comma by comma and sentence by sentence, and making significant input both into the clarity and extending the language in non-substantive ways. What the programming committee is going to do this year, I hope, will be two things. One is, for all of the comments that we have received, we will recommend to the PNB, subject to the final adoption of the policy, we will recommend final language that reflects the input that we've got at this point from listeners, from LSBs, from other people, so that their good advice can be incorporated into the policy document. Secondly, the programming committee will work with management and the PNB in implementing that policy in a way that make sure that the things that we anticipated occur and the things that we didn't anticipate don't occur. So that's what's going to be going on. The other thing that we did in our meeting was we had a discussion with Professor Lawrence Lessig, who is a professor of law at Stanford University. For those of you who may remember the U.S. versus Microsoft case, Lawrence Lessig was the special master for the judge that made the determination. He is one of the foremost authorities in the world on law around licensing and intellectual property and the internet. He has written extensively on this. He even has a website I would direct you to, www.creativecommons.org, which allows artists to distribute their content on the internet, and the way that it's distributed actually embeds a licensing agreement into that content, so that it can be distributed freely or for pay, and it can also be, in some cases, manipulated. This is the area that we want to get into. But generally, the discussion had to do with how we can use licensing to distribute Pacifica content or local station content, both for free or for profit. Okay? And in addition to that, how it can be distributed in ways that people can simply use it or they can manipulate it. Much of the news content that we have may be used in other places, in other countries, to develop yet more programming. So we believe that this is a very important thing, and I think if I could condense Lessig's thinking.
Just to tell you, I have an 8-minute excerpt will be played in the licensing discussion tomorrow.
But the general concept is that the internet is something which basically should the structure of the law should be shaped around the way people use the internet and the technology, rather than using the law to basically gag the technology and the internet. We think that's going to be very helpful. So it was a tremendous discussion, and from people like David Adelson and myself, who met with Professor Lessig in San Francisco, you have to understand that some of these issues that we're talking about, we've been fighting about to bring before this body since we were both plaintiffs in 1999 and 2000. So we're very, very happy that we've had the support of management, Greg Guma and others, and this board in getting there, because we really think we're about to get onto the edge of the wave. So having said that, I'm going to talk very briefly about the basics of what's in the programming policy. Then we're going to have a discussion, and we're going to talk about four areas. The four areas we're going to discuss in general have to do with, number one, the concept of having a network program coordinator, what that does and that doesn't mean. The second area that we're going to talk about is the issue of program evaluation. The third area that we're going to talk about is the syndication and sale of programming, both local programming and national programming. The last thing that we want to talk about, which is, I think, critical, is the issue of new voices on Pacifica. Having said that, I'm going to rush very quickly through the programming policy and what the components of it are. Again, one of the things that this body does uniquely is the Pacifica Board assures that resources are available to the network for the development of programming. It's my position, and it's the position of our committee, that programming does two very, very basic things to fulfill the Foundation's mission. One is, programming is literally the fulfillment of the mission in concrete form. Secondly, it's programming that builds the audience, which enables us to sustain ourselves. Part of the mission is self-sustaining. And programming is the very thing that creates the audience that keeps us alive, that keeps the Pacifica mission in play. Some of the other things that we talked about is the support for the infrastructure that Pacifica programming is built on. That deals with the affiliates program, that deals with our technical operations, that deals with the internet architecture, the technology, the websites, which are going to take us into the future. If we don't invest in those infrastructure elements, our programming is always going to be dispersed and weaker than it is. It's always going to be not the sum of all of our local stations and all of our content, but it's going to be the individual components. Local station programming, we define, it includes local programming, national programming, network broadcasts, programming that we make the mission from within or without the network, which should also be mission-driven, and additionally, affiliate programming. We'd like to hear more from the affiliates, and we think that that's going to be a powerful tool in opening up our audience and in creating a stronger tie to our affiliates, particularly in areas of the country where we're very thin, for example, the South. The issue of mission-driven programming. Everybody knows the five components of the Pacifica mission, that we're educational, that we're self-sustaining and a network, that we harness the creative energies of our communities, that we develop understanding between peoples, and that we provide information from all sources, issues that are not covered in the mainstream media, with voices that will never be heard in the mainstream media. We believe that everything we do programmatically should be measured against the mission. So, for example, the fact that we're educational, one of the things we should be looking at is the fact that we have a dearth of programming for children and youth on our stations at the same time that the average age of our listeners is moving up into the 50s. That tells us that we need to focus more at all of our stations on whether or not we're fulfilling the mission through our programming. The next item is programs that build understanding between people. There are certain shows in Pacifica that have the capacity of getting people from different cultures, different backgrounds, to come together and understand that they have something in common. The fact that we had so many people from KPFK out there today tells us that we're tapped into something that creates understanding between people. So we want to make sure that we do a lot more of that. The issue about sale and syndication of programming is if we're going to reach the broadest possible audience, one of the things that we have to take a look at is how we use the internet, how we use our affiliates, and perhaps even how we sell programming to other non-affiliated, non-commercial stations, or perhaps in some circumstances to commercial stations to extend our audience, to extend Pacific voices, and also to create resources that enable our local station producers and hosts to keep producing that programming. We talk about commercial programming. We say that if the focus of a show is to sell a service for somebody, we shouldn't be doing that on the Pacifica Airways. There's been a lot of controversy about that from time to time, and what this policy basically says is, let's set a criteria that defines when that happens, and then let's not do it. But let's not keep arguing that something is commercial, fundamentally commercial, when we don't really have any criteria in place for making that determination. New voices. We all know that if we're going to reach a broader audience, a younger audience, we've got to have new voices on the air. They don't just have to be young voices. They might be new voices broadcasting to senior citizens. But the reality is that if we're going to bring those voices onto the air, we must have training in place at all of our stations. We must have the ability to reach out to the community with our airwaves and cover the issues that are of concern to our community. Otherwise, new voices won't be able to get in the door. We talk about programming resources. We basically say if we're going to support programming, it has to be supported in the budget. If we don't have positions in our budget that support programming, if people don't have the qualifications to do that, and if we don't have material resources to develop and produce mission-driven programming, it's not going to happen. We talk about the role of affiliates. Thank you very much. I very much support the affiliates program. I think that it's one of the gems in our crown, and that the more we support the affiliates program, the more we're going to find Pacifica programming reaching ever broader audiences. And we really think, I've been traveling in the South recently, and one of the things that I hear at universities is, we want to hear more Pacifica programming, on our local stations. And I think what that means is that the affiliates program is doing a job and getting us out there, but we need to do some outreach back to those communities. We talk about the issue of program evaluation. We'll talk about that at greater length. We talk about the issue of using research. We're not talking about Auditron. We're talking about using our own websites and the internet to create databases for our listeners. We talk about compliance with federal laws and regulations. That's really not controversial, but we think that we have to do it more systematically for all of our local station hosts and producers so that there's a uniform understanding of how we do that, how we reward people for good behavior, what to do when people violate or potentially violate FCC regulations if it causes us to lose our licenses. We talk about developing an annual programming calendar so we can look forward for trends that are developing in the news and in the nation and for a thing called Days in History so that when we want to talk to people about who we are as a, who we are as a people, what are the things in common that we have, workers' struggles, women's struggles, struggles for freedom for people of color, that we have days and every day means something to people in Pacifica. Many of our stations already do that, but we'd like to do a better job so that there's a common understanding across the nation of what the Pacific ideal is and who we are as a people, how we got to where we are. We talk about implementing national programming through the creation of a position called the Network Program Coordinator. This has been discussed before. It's not a new idea, and we'll discuss it in more detail. So that's the overview. Now what I'd like to do is begin talking about some of the key issues there. The first thing that I would like to talk about is the issue of the Network Program Coordinator and what it means and what it doesn't mean. We're going to allocate about 20 minutes for that. David, you said you wanted to help with the discussion. Would you like to say something off the top of your head?
No, I just offered if you want me to call up people.
The concept, let me just say very briefly and then we can start the discussion. The concept of having a network programming coordinator is not to create a top-down policy. The purpose of this position is to basically help plan what we are programming, what issues are before us on an ongoing basis, and really to assure that when we do a Supreme Court oversight hearing, that the journalists, that the hosts, that the news directors from all over the network have the ability to provide their expertise and input into the structuring of these broadcasts and that voices that we typically never hear get heard before a national audience. What tends to happen now with our network broadcasts is that people, the different stations, bid for a show and it technically gets established at the last minute, and we tend to have the same people producing and hosting them. One of the things that we've learned in the program committee is that we have many, many extraordinarily talented voices producing, reporting, hosting that people never hear. We want to bring them into the production, the structuring, the planning of these shows. We believe that the network programming coordinator is going to be the person that will advocate for the best voices and the best talents at the local station level so that they get heard by a broader audience. And by doing that, we think that we're going to have a fairer approach to this programming rather than one that tells local stations what to do and what not to do. Well, I would point out, yes.
Can you read, because it's just three sentences, it's 12-part bill on page 9. And there will
sure, I'll read it.
You can just read what you've said about it.
Pacifica shall employ a network programming coordinator whose primary responsibilities are to implement Pacifica programming policy and support the production and distribution of mission-driven programming throughout the Pacifica family, including affiliate family members, FSRN, and beyond. A central focus of the coordinator's position is to help establish a constructive working relationship between government, governance, and management locally and nationally, and to promote collaborative relationships among local station staff, national programming staff, archive staff, and key affiliates in ways that build a network synergy. So that's all it says. There is no must-carry policy that tells any station or general manager or program director that they must carry show X, Y, or Z, and there is not anything that tells them in this document that there will be a must-carry policy. So the notion that this position is going to somehow dictate programming is not there. But what we do think it will do is it will enable as I said, news directors, reporters, hosts, to discuss, almost as an editorial board, what's going on in the network on a weekly and monthly basis. So
are you wanting to take discussion on the national program coordinator idea right now?
Yeah, I think now we should let people ask questions or make
observations.
I would very much appreciate it if you help.
Okay.
Traffic.
So I'll recognize people then. Who would like to speak to the idea of the national program coordinator as it exists in the policy that may be before us? Ambrose. Oh, I'm sorry, and just to tell people, after this discussion, we'll be considering the approval of the policy. Go ahead.
I'd like to know how they determine that we should not have a must carry. The only successful national program we have is Black Canal. Every station financed that, and it was a must carry. Unfortunately, it's been given away out of our reach. But why would you say that we're not going to have must carry and have a national program?
Well, but the national program coordinator position isn't really, what's not contemplated is that person has the ability to mandate carriage. The must carry rule was, the way it was implemented, if I recall, is three of the five GMs had to agree to a carry program, at which point it became less carry. So, but does that germane to the program coordinator? Or, I guess it is, because it's not a they have. Is that correct? Is that the idea?
That was the procedure that did not apply to Democracy Now! Democracy Now! Was created. The special program is going to last for 9 months. It was a must carry. Everybody had finances. We set up that whole structure. We financed all that staff. There's a must carry. And why would we suggest, in view of the fact that we're facing 2007, when we don't know what's going to happen to Democracy Now!, why would we chain our hands and say we're not going to have must carry? It makes no sense.
Ambrose, all I'm saying is that there is nothing in the position of the programming coordinator or this policy that suggests that that person or this policy will require a local station manager to carry a particular program. If management decides that they want to develop a program like that, that's within their purview. If the board wants to make further policy determinations about how national programs are going to be developed, that's something that can be developed collaboratively. But the point that I'm trying to make is that the comments that this policy or this position will force or remove the autonomy of local stations is not supported by anything in the language of the policy.
I just want to point out, so I thought this discussion was on the program coordinator position. Maybe we could come back to that question because it's a larger question after we've discussed. Well, if we could come back to that after we've dealt with the coordinator, or maybe spend the time on the coordinator and then go to this question. I saw two hands over there, Alan and then Sandy.
As somebody who works in programming, everything Rob said there, at one point said, national programming, we're getting word of it sometimes like 2 or 3 days before it happens. And it's been going on, well before the new ED was there, and well before you were there, in terms of something that you inherited as well. And a lot of times we sit there and we look at it. Armando is the person who makes the call on this in the KPFK structure, but we talk about it, and we're dizzy. We remain dizzy about it because we love to sometimes carry a program about what the national program is about, but we can't then go ahead and preempt. And also, we're very worried about the quality of the program, especially something that's thrown together and we get word of it. Yeah. I do think from within KPFK, maybe other people, other signal areas can talk about this. We definitely have a lot of worry and consternation about the development of the national programming czar. And so I think I do think there needs to be a person in the national office who oversees this stuff and is the point person for the coordination of national programming. But at the same time, certainly we in programming at KPFK are highly invested in it not being a particularly powerful position. Now, I also want to say this about that, which is that national programming, and this pertains to something else Rob spoke about, is going to evolve as the technology evolves. Everybody knows now, there are papers all around the world that in the past 5 years have become international newspapers because everybody reads them and they're on the internet. It's where a lot of us get our information. Well, Pacifica programming hopefully is going to become like that. There's other technologies by which 168 hours of programming on Pacifica.org, maybe through some other distribution service. Maybe that's going to be something that this position will evolve towards, but then this body can reassess how that job description is written. So right now, there's serious need for somebody to be the point person on national programming, to give the heads up well in advance, to coordinate all the information coming. For instance, right now in Los Angeles, maybe after what we all saw today, this is an instance of something that people could have been told of 3 weeks ago and think be a national program. And so there's that, but also to make sure off the bat it's not a very powerful thing that can dictate programming if a person has that kind of power.
And just so people understand, this board passed the motion in September of 2004 saying that we wouldn't post a position, we couldn't proceed with posting a position until the programming committee developed a policy on this position. So that's what this is really about. I saw Sandy, then Ken, and then I saw Bob and Mary and Greg and if you could take a couple minutes each, that probably use some time for the second.
Thank you. First off, I want to compliment the committee on the work that it's done and the fine text in our book. I encourage everybody to read that. It's a very nice piece of work. I would highly support a national program coordinator or a program director or czar, as it was stated before. We need this. This is absolutely something that's going to be essential. We have to ask ourselves as a group, are we winning in terms of creating new audience? Are we winning in terms of replenishing? Pacifica's lifeblood, and in my mind, at best we're staying even. I wish that were the case. So I think this would be essential to coordinate in some form of national program. And I would also support something that Ambrose brought out, and that is, hey, we should try this. We should put a date on the calendar, 6 months, 9 months, whatever you want to call it, and make it stab at it, see how it goes. It worked with DN. Who knows where this will take us?
See, the it being, in that sense, take a stab at what? 6 months?
At a national programming, a program, something that we're going to carry and have it coordinated through one person. The only thing that, caution that I would have here is I would anticipate that this would be a paid position. How the heck are we going to pay for this one?
It's in the budget. It's in this year's budget already.
That goes directly to my question, which is my understanding is that we need a financial impact on everything that we and you did set that after this discussion. At some point, we're going to decide the question of whether or not we want a national program coordinator, correct?
Let me be clear. First, to answer the first question, national program position has already been approved for this year's budget. It's in the budget. They will have control of about $5,000 a month program budget from the national office. What the motion in 2004 said is that the job could be that the ED could not initiate a hiring process until the programming policy developed the policy. So what I said was, when we pass this policy, then the PME will approve the policy that describes the position, and that would allow the executive director to go forward. Just a quick note, Greg did something incredible, which I haven't mentioned, but which is useful. The last section of your board packet, Greg went through himself and took all the PME motions for the 2004 and 2005 and indexed them by topic area. So if you want to know about this, this, Ken, is under that motion is in the personnel section of that. So it's the last thing in your book, and if you look at the table of contents where it says personnel motions, that's where the motion is. So anytime we make reference now to prior motions, thanks to Greg taking it on himself.
My question is, what kind of salary level does this position entail?
I think it is one of the upper salaries in the network, so I think it's public information, right, because it shows up on the 990?
It should be
public. Can you tell us what the salary level for this position is? 65K per year.
I think there's been a lot of great work that's gone into the formulation of this policy. A lot of parts of it, I think, clearly are ready to be adopted. On the question of the coordinator, the national coordinator, we clearly need that position as the board is desired to create it. The question is defining the purview and the job description. And I understand that the job description is going to come back to the board at the next meeting.
We had a job description that we got that was developed last year, year before. What our committee did is we made a list of, we wrote down all the issues that people raised about where they thought there were not duties and responsibilities or where they thought they were too broad. So what we can do is as soon as we finalize with management the job description that everybody likes, we can bring it back to the board, I believe, so that everybody can have input. But if you'd like, I can email to you or anybody else on the board the old job description and then all of the things that we wrote down that we thought flowed from that needed to be redone or considered and something like that.
Well, I just wanted to clarify what the rule of order, I mean, but where we are in terms of our motions. The motion said that we passed said the national office will not initiate a hiring process for the national program director until the programming committee has developed policy on national programming and a resolution is brought forth for approval by the Pacific National Board. That was supposed to happen a year ago. What that says is once we approve a policy, the national office is free to go ahead with the hiring process. So as yet, there's no requirement that any job description come back to this body. Passage of the policy as things stand now would let it move forward.
Okay, well, I think we may want to consider not to create delay, but to make sure that as Alan Kaczynski was saying earlier, that this does not become, through inadvertence or otherwise, a czar type position, that maybe the board should look at the job description before the executive director actually hires someone, so that whoever the person is coming in with a clear sense of what the job is and what it isn't. And I would just suggest that the last sentence of the paragraph,
page 9.
Yeah, where it describes this position is kind of confusing. What is it, 12.0? Yeah, a central focus of the coordinator position is to help establish a constructive working relationship between governance and management and locally and nationally.
Yeah, there's some bad language there.
I just think the whole sentence needs to be much more concrete and clear and not so general so that we know kind of what is the purview of this person and then the job description in particular. But I just want to echo some of Alan's concerns about that staff at BAI have raised about not only more notice for national programs, but also more really bottom-up input into the formulation of the topics, the approach, the guests, and, of course, the hosts, because there's been a tendency to pick certain people who have done this in the past many times, and those are the sort of natural assumptions that they will host in the future. And it needs to be more participatory and people based on expertise, not necessarily based on experience hosting cast, but the subject matter is something that they know about, etc. So I just think it has to really be guaranteed as more participatory.
That's absolutely what the committee's thinking was last year and will be again this year. It's based on the first meeting that we had.
Right. That's written into the document, so it's not later on, you know, forgotten.
Sure.
Yes, I have.
Yeah,
I very definitely support hiring a program coordinator. I would be opposed to hiring a program director, much less a programming czar. But the function of a coordinator, as I would understand it, is not what I read in here. There is no job description here, as noted. But you can piece it together, but there are all these things that the National Programming Committee and the programming coordinator are going to oversee or do or set or mandate or whatever, and I it looks to me that the outline of some of the tasks of the program coordinator, as they're elicited here, go way past what my conception of a coordinator, a program coordinator's duties would be. I would have a hard time, and of course, you know, we can't hire the coordinator. I'm familiar with the 2004 motion. And this policy, there are many good ideas in it, but there are many things that are written in a way that is unclear, such to the point that I could not say, well, I'm going to vote for this policy because I don't know what the consequences would be, because I don't really know what some of it says. And there are portions that really trouble me quite a bit that I could not support. So I don't know what to say here. Do I support a coordinator? Yes, but I don't know how I could pass this policy today as it's written without quite a bit of clarification and modification. And I would really have to see the job description. And lastly, you said, Rob, that after the job description is finalized with management, to everybody's satisfaction, we could always bring it to the board for input. But if it's finalized, is that after the fact? I mean,
Any position description has to be drafted before anybody can critique it.
But you said finalized.
I mean, it has to be written out.
I want to give everybody a chance to speak. So,
I would think the board would want to see it before it was finalized.
I misspoke. I apologize. I just want to
let people know this is supposed to be a thematic discussion about our positive interests and goals. After this, we'll have a half an hour to deal with the administrative part, the passing of the motion, including any amendments or additional motions about bringing anything back. So if we can focus on what people constructively want, the vision thing, I think that would be the best use of this time. It's certainly what it was intended for. Right?
Yeah, so I want to respond to a number of things that were said around the table so far. I guess I'll start from where we are on the job description. And although it's been mentioned that normally job descriptions don't come to the board, as you well know, these are human resource matters, but this is a special case and a special job. And so we are going to take extraordinary measures here. And be clear, we cannot begin this process until some action is taken by the board. And so what we're trying to do is to come to at least some sort of limited agreement on the things that you can agree upon within the policy rather than the whole policy as a complete document before we even begin that process. I'm as eager as you are to get this started, even more so because right now, on a de facto basis, I, in essence, act as the National Programming Coordinator, just as I act as the de facto interim general manager of KPFA. I didn't hire on for those three jobs. One is enough for me. So I'm eager to get this done. But what we intend to do is to take the results of this meeting, the results of your motion, and the work that Rob has done, and we'll hear in a little while from Eva and others, and sculpt a job description which you can review. I would urge you not to look at it as something that you have to pick apart point by point, but to give us general guidance rather than becoming involved in establishing a human resources committee at the board level. There are short-term planning problems now. The operations group has begun to address them. So when this person does start to work, they're not starting from scratch. We had a meeting on Thursday in which we began to address some of those things in regard to special broadcasts and develop procedures for approval of special broadcasts. I won't go into the details of that. But what it does do is it will eliminate the type of problem that Alan was talking about. It will create a somewhat higher bar, but it will trigger a process in which when you have a proposal that is well thought out, which has a budget, we will be able to act on it within a short period of time. We're hoping for more like a 4 or 5 week lead time, but often you don't have that. Also, there will be a kind of set of criteria to decide whether something should be live, and also, as well as that, a kind of a protocols sheet for producers to sign off on. And so this person is going to be coming in with some tools already in place that we are developing consultatively with the managers. The must-carry rule that Ambrose mentioned, my feeling is you never say never on something like that, but what I'm trying to do with the station managers and program directors is to cultivate a process that reduces the need for that kind of force. You never know. We may get to a point with a particular program or even a series where that may be the only alternative. I'm hoping we don't. On the financial impacts, we know what the impact of the position is. The $5,000 that was mentioned is what exists in the budget right now, what remains in the budget after the $1,000 a month that's been allocated for the National News Program, which is currently in your budget for other programs, special broadcasts primarily. What we're looking at next year may be somewhat different. There are already requests in the pipeline and other contracts which are going to have a big impact on what we're able to accomplish, both in terms of existing programs that we take from the local level and conceivably something new which takes talent from the local level and projects it nationwide. So I don't think that looking at $5,000 in the long term is realistic. It could be considerably more, but that will be yours to decide.
Next, I have Don.
Well, I don't have to say much because most of my concerns have been addressed. I think, actually, I do support the programming coordinator. Very often, when there would be national programming, and some of our people from KFPK would come back, for instance, the Republican Convention in New York City, they would say, well, there was a lot of good reporting from the streets and so on. But there was a lack of coordination and a lot of frustration. So I think we need to gavel-to-gavel coverage of hearings and so on. A lot of that needs to be coordinated. I mean, one of the concerns in this signal area is the whole issue of a czar. That doesn't seem to be an issue. No one is proposing that someone be a czar. I agree with a lot of the issues that Bob brought up. Those issues of trying to determine the exact, I hate to use the word, but the exact power that a coordinator would have. What power would that person have? And those things seem to be, they're going to be considered. So I don't have to say any more. A lot of my issues have been addressed.
Sorry.
Is the very strong feeling, I think, in the KBFK signal area that local programming, locally produced programming, should drive programming. But that does not invalidate the need for some national programming as well.
Thank you. Most of my concerns have been expressed by Mary and other members of this board here. One thing that, just reading this paragraph, 12.0, it says something that our program coordinator implements a policy program, specific programming policy and support distribution and production of mission-driven programming throughout Pacifica, including affiliate family members. I am a little bit at a loss. Affiliate membership. We don't have any authority over them. They voluntarily want to take our program in. And I wonder how you implement that as a program coordinator and force something down the affiliate program for affiliates.
Greg or Rob?
I'm just talking to Rob.
We're not talking about forcing any. They're members of the Pacifica family. That's the way we talk about people that are part of Pacifica. And it simply means that we will maintain a relationship around programming. That person will maintain a relationship around programming with people like Yvonne and Rick. If you talk to affiliate stations, one of the things that they're concerned about is that they have a chance to talk to Pacifica more about what things we make available for them. For example, if we can make news content available to affiliate stations so that it's easier for them to rip and read their news, that's something that they want. So we simply would like that person to be open to programming discussions with those members of the family.
All I'm interested in that we do not try to force her in any way, and that the affiliates have a free choice. And because this one, we can force things on our Pacifica decisions through our program coordinator.
We're not talking about affiliates. Forcing anything.
We do have the authority in a way to kind of dictate a policy that we can carry it through our network, but not the affiliates. That's one thing.
That there is
the second. Okay, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman. Thank you. The next thing is this Bob brought out here between establishing a constructive working relationship between governance and management, this program coordinator. And I think that program coordinator, in my view, is coordinates the national program by coordinating all five stations and getting the producers that are required with their right kind of knowledge and experience, rather than busy trying to create a relationship between governance and management. This language here needs to be shifted somehow.
Sorry, but let me just make one statement to you in that regard. In order to implement the program and policy, this document envisions that network programming coordinator will work in between the programming committee and management, general managers, program directors in the implementation of that. I think it's important that there be a solid cooperative working relationship between governance and management around something as important as programming policy.
We're not denying that.
Can I just offer the relationship of the CFO to the finance committee might provide a good model for the relationship of the program coordinator to the programming committee? The CFO meets with the finance committee and is that kind of playing that kind of role with the finance committee.
Well, we'll just have to see how it develops here, because you know there is a governance and there is management, and we want to make sure that the program coordinator doesn't get busy trying to solve all the governance and management relationship problems and stuff like that, rather than simply coordinate by program. Thank you, Bert. That's all. Yes,
Rob,
that's exactly
right. Could we hear from Yvonne and Rick on this point? Your relationship to our national program.
Thanks, Dave. Drew Robbins from KSBR. But what I want to say is, first of all, I want to thank Bob, and I appreciate his consideration for the affiliates. I'd like to point out that the affiliates now are reaching approximately 100 in number, and what we have is a situation where the affiliates coordinator is becoming the de facto contact for affiliates who are using programming from Pacifica, and I don't think that was the original intention of the affiliates coordinator position, so that what we have is, even though Greg said that he was kind of the de facto coordinator, the burden is really falling on Ursula too, because before Greg was there, she was the one that was handling all these concerns. And I would say that with that many affiliates, given the initiatives here to increase that number, there really needs to be someone to handle the actual content that's being delivered to those stations, and that therefore with the initiative to increase that program, there's got to be someone.
There should be some policy or a person involved in the conscious recruitment of new affiliates, development of policies concerning not only the relationship between the Pacifica National Board and the affiliates, but relationship among affiliates. We have a region of the country, the South, where there are a lot of Pacifica stations. There is an interest in Pacifica programming, but we need to have a campaign to really bring that programming to the affiliates there, recruit new affiliates, and also to have an increase in the amount of programming coming from the affiliates up to Pacifica and to other stations. And all of that requires an extensive coordination.
I just want to note we actually have now absorbed all but about 8 minutes of our hour to talk about this, and maybe we should move to the point that Ambrose raised, since it was raised, and I think it is a very important question as we go forward on national programming. The only question I have is, we have an hour to talk about management and issues in national programming. At the end of today, actually, this management issues dialogue, the focus would be the future of national programming. Maybe we could move that piece of it into that discussion and just leave the remaining minutes to deal with, what was the second item on your list?
Program evaluation.
Is that all right with you, Ambrose? Okay, so some comments on program evaluation. Yeah, Greg?
I would just make a suggestion you might want to consider.
Can't hear you.
You might want to consider the new voices area and that sort of thing
that simply because there is information that you have to add to that discussion.
Can we do that, Rob?
Sure.
Okay. Well, my understanding is that Eva had something that she wanted to present on the New Voices that came out of a discussion amongst the management. Just so people know, the operations group, which is to be called the admin council, discussed the policy, and Greg had let us know that they did have a comment on the New Voices call.
Here we have 3 points that we would like to address. And this came out of, if you don't know, the administrative council is now the operations council. It's made up of GMs as well as PDs that is in the discussion. And the discussion actually was also a beginning of what started with our LSB in LA and programmers discussion that happened. And what we looked at is how can we use this program policy document and use the things that we know is feasible to do and to implement at the stations where we can get agreement on rather than deal with the stuff that everybody is not comfortable with. And what we also talked about is having bottom-up input, to have buy-in, to have us as boards and management and programmers engage our listeners, engage our staff, engage our programmers about what's the vision, where are we going with programming. So it's not something that's enforced on people, but rather something that people feel, oh, this is where we're going. This is the plan for Pacifica. And the three areas that we came up with was program evaluations, new voices, and for every station, new voices would be something different because it might be Spanish in, you know, in the D.C. area, and for L.A. it might be something completely different, so that the discretion is left up to the station, but that there's a commitment from all the GM, I think from KPFT, KPFK, WBAI. WBAI said, I think Indra is here, so there was definitely an interest to support this notion. WPFW is on board. So the three issues are program evaluations, new voices, and mission-driven programming. And we think if we focus on those three areas, it's feasible for the stations to do, that every station then come up with a plan as to how to implement it locally, but that there's a national focus on these areas. So those are the issues that we'd like to bring forward to all of you. Thank you.
Rob, we talked before, and you made the point that I think earlier in the presentation that whatever we do on this topic, it's not etched in stone, and that you're in the ongoing process of refining it through comment, process, and feedback, right? Is that correct?
Yes, yeah, and this is a policy that implements the bylaws. It's not something that once it's done can't be changed. Some parts of it may not work, and some parts may be refined and changed out of all the on-call recognition. But this is a starting point.
Okay. Well, we're just about at time. We have half an hour for public comment on this, and then we'll be processing the policy as a motion. Do we have a list of the public comment?
Yes,
only on one. Hang on a second. This question. The public comment on whatever they like, but the reason we put a public comment period here was so that after hearing our discussion, if members of the public wanted to comment on these issues, we would hear that comment before we acted on the motion. But if no, they think the public comment on whatever they want, we don't think like that. Okay, so the first person is Maxine Dugan. Am I reading that correctly?
Excuse me, Donna started a list much earlier.
It's you and
I. I was the first person.
You're the second person on this list, Dan.
Hi, everybody. My name is Maxine Dugan, and I have the privilege and pleasure of serving the KPFA Labor Collective as a liaison to KPFA. I love KPFA, and I love Pacifica, and I love democracy. On the issue of the program coordinator, hurry. Steve Zelter, our chair, wrote a national program for a piece in July featuring the struggles of labor organizing going on in ATRU, which is the hotel workers. which is going to become a national issue, a national strike possibly. And we really want Pacifica's help to cover that very important issue. It's a worker-related issue. It's an immigrant worker-related issue. It's very important. Also, just to tell you that me and some of the other KPFA women were sitting around the other day, and we were talking about national programming and what we could do to build community within the Pacifica family, because we see that as a big issue, and we'd love to see the program coordinator lead up that issue. You know, we have to look at what we can do to educate ourselves amongst ourselves about who we are. And so we were thinking about doing a film festival within Pacifica so that we can have an opportunity to educate ourselves about who we are and about how we can build understanding amongst programmers and amongst producers and amongst board operators and amongst training, how to share our training with each other so that we can ultimately have the infrastructure to produce and get national programming on the air at Pacifica. So that's something we're going to be looking at and working on, and look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Jan Goodman. After that is Mike DiMedani, Richard Phelps, and Roger Fugal.
Hi, I'm Jan Goodman. I'm a member of the KPFK LSB, and welcome to Los Angeles again. One, perhaps it wouldn't be too much to ask to actually try to finish drafting draft that could be passed around tomorrow of this coordinator. It seems like you're so close to doing it. Why not actually get it done while everybody's here and move it a step further and not have to wait another who knows how long? Second of all, and you could even do it while other people are talking. Second of all, just in terms of approaching the national programming question, it seems to me that we have local stations have many assets already in place, and a coordinator could actually be coordinating the use of some programs that are already done, or just to approach the kinds of things we some people would like to see. For instance, covering hearings is something that we do very well in Washington hearings or similar things, and then not only doing that, but doing some programming around that. For instance, in Los Angeles, we've had a lot of coverage about immigration, and we've had 4 days of immigration coverage of various sorts, and that's the kind of thing that could go national very easily, and we ought to be thinking about that. And another approach would be to have perhaps an hour a day that each of the local stations could pick for a 5-week or 6-week period, one person's program, and if every Monday it would be KPFK, Tuesday KPFT, et cetera, and then we'd have an hour a week of seeing what's going on around the station. It'd be very easy to implement.
Thank you.